Good morning. Praise the Lord for an incredible summer day, right? I don't know what the weather's like where you're at, but here it's warm and it's sunny, and it beats being in a ton of snow, if you ask me. So I love it. And this is one of my favorite weekends of the year. I love the 4th of July. It makes me so proud to be an American and to have so many people be patriotic, and it makes my heart warm to know that people still love the freedom that this country brings. But behind that is the fact that it's one nation that is still trusting in God. And people openly say it at this time, and it just encourages me. But I want to encourage each one of you as a believer to allow this time to wake you up. I've done a lot of praying over the weekend, and I was so excited. My husband and I, I'm on TBN here in San Antonio. I host their Joy in Our Town program, which is the public side of their broadcast. And I interview government officials and agencies that are helping our community, and just to keep the community up to speed on what things are happening. And as one of the fun things I get to do as a result of that is every other Friday, I have the opportunity in helping our station raise funds to switch our station over to HD, because we need it so bad. We're one of the biggest markets here in the U.S., and our station is still running with low definition, and we just need some new upgrades and things like that. And what I love about that is it allows me to give back to the community, give back to the station that's so generous and made such a difference in my life. But it also gives me the opportunity to share a message. Well, each time that I've done this in the past, they have preachers come and they preach small snippets and segments, and then we have special music. And then they bring one table in, and there's usually four of us, women of God, usually pastors, that will sit around this table, and we kind of do something that's similar to The View, which, by the way, I hate, because I can't stand how those women just talk all over each other, and it's usually negative and just awful, kind of gossipy stuff. But what we do is we sit around this table, and we bring a word of God for the viewers. And I kind of look at it as like The View for the viewers, and it's God's view. And that's what I thought we were doing on Friday. Well, my husband was going to be off work, and I hate when he has those special holidays off and we're not together. So I asked him, I said, do you mind, you know, I've got to do TPN on Friday. Would you like to come to the station? Because he's come to the station a few times. And he said he'd love to. So I messaged our station manager, and he said, oh, yeah, we'd love to have John. Well, then towards the end of the week, he says, well, you know, have John prepare a message. And I said, well, John, you know you need to prepare a message because we need to always have a ready word. That's what the scripture says, right? So we did. And then we were scheduled, he was scheduled to be one of the pastors that spoke at the beginning. And he said, you know, that he'd like me to come up and read some scripture and kind of do this together, because most of the time we minister together. Well, it was so funny because we normally are given 2 to 3 minutes, and they kept, during our segment, kept giving us the signs to keep stretching. So our 2 to 3 minutes stretched into 5 to 6 to almost 10 minutes. And on the fly, on live TV, you have to look like you're not surprised or you're just not pulling this out of thin air, right? So praise God that that word is in the scripture, that we're always to have a ready word. And we were able to minister that way. And as soon as that segment was over, we had special music, and they said, okay, are you ready to share something different for The View? And they set us over for The View. Well, I had shared everything I possibly could think of just minutes before. But praise God that he's so faithful, and he tells us in his word that he'll speak in and through us. And he tells us in Jeremiah that we don't even have to be afraid to speak to dignitaries or to government officials, because he'll give us the words to say. So I was pulling on every one of those kind of scriptures that I could and just saying, Holy Spirit, speak in and through me. But that day was extraordinary. It was extraordinary for me for several reasons. Number one, I love to minister with my husband. And we aren't pastors. We've gone through all of our education to be pastors, but we've never been ordained. And everyone kept calling him Pastor John, and it was almost as if it were a prophetic word over his life. So that was very awesome, really a cool experience. But the thing that I loved is we were supposed to be talking about freedom. They told us, you know, go with whatever the Holy Spirit has given you, but speak on freedom because this is our Independence Day program. And you could tell that there was a heavy anointing on every one of the pastors that came into the set this time. Our audience was completely full. We had amazing teens dancing before the Lord, incredible praise and worship music about being forgiven and free and overcoming. But there was something that we could tell was on everyone's heart. In the Word, in Psalm 119, 136, it says, "Rivers of tears gush from my eyes because people disobey your instructions." I've had a lot of tears gushing from my eyes for my country in the last couple of weeks. And you could tell that each one of these pastors were the same. I've had tears gushing from my eyes on that decision that was made by the Supreme Court. My heart was grieved, just like I'm sure it hurt Heavenly Father's heart. He loves our country so much. He loves his people so much. He brought his people safely here so that this could be one nation under God. I mean, look at our money, one nation under God, right? And even look at our 2 cents or our cents. It says in God we trust. Do we? Do we really trust God with our money? Then why aren't we tithing? Why aren't we feeding the kingdom? Why aren't we doing the work of the Lord? Let me tell you, I've seen a lot of 2 cents be thrown around Facebook to the point where I was even questioning, should I even be on Facebook anymore? Such hate spew from Christian mouths. People that have watered down the word to where people don't know how do Christians really stand. What does God's word say? The whole program started off talking about the first flag. Our first flag was not the Stars and Stripes. Our first flag was make an appeal to heaven. George Washington knew that if we didn't appeal to heaven, that we would never gain our independence. It would no longer be one nation under God. I want to encourage you to appeal to heaven. George knew something. He was right. Have we been a mess for a long time in this country? Yes. Was it just last week that all of a sudden we walked into sin? No. We are in dire straits financially. Our government looks more like a circus. Have we taken a downturn since Roe versus Wade and the legalization of abortion? Absolutely. We've legalized same-sex marriage. That's not what God intended. Will there be consequences as a result of these decisions? Yes, anytime you go against the Word of God, there's always consequences. But he does tell us that his mercies are new every morning. And that he loves us. And brother and sister and entrepreneur and whomever I'm speaking to today that's listening to this or listening to the instructions or the recording, I want to tell you that we need to allow this to awaken us. Awaken us to, you know what, we're in deep weeds. You might even feel like we've stepped into deep doo-doo in the weeds as a nation. We've normalized and institutionalized sinful living in so many areas. It's not just this one. But if this is the one that it took to wake you up, especially right at Independence Day, praise God. somehow we thought it's been okay up until now to make it be okay to go against the Word of God and live that way and talk that way and be that way. And friends, I'm not just saying that this is about same-sex marriage. I'm saying that we've allowed our children to rule our families. I'm saying that we're not encouraging one another. It tells us to do that and to lift each other up. We're not preaching the gospel. We're not going into the lost and doing anything except berate them. And I don't know about you, but that's not what the Word tells me I'm supposed to be doing. That's not the example that Jesus left. Jesus left the example of going in amongst the sinners, those that needed him most, finding the lost sheep, restoring them, and then discipling them. Psalm 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, but cursed are those who go against and speak against." Do we speak against the sin? All of it, not just one? Or do we pick through your Bible where you pick, like, you know what, that sin gets on my nerve. I'm going to find some scriptures and I am going to let somebody have it today. That's just as sinful. That's not what God says. We should feel sorrow that God's plan has been assaulted. It's been corrupted. It's been prostituted. It should hurt our hearts. But we're to still love the people. Ephesians tells us that we're not to battle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and darkness and the power of the air. Use this time as a time to stand for the truth, to not be ashamed of the gospel, to use the whole Bible. Use it as truth, not just the parts that you feel like you want to beat people up with. Stand for what's right. Stand for truth. Do it in love. You know, there's sections, huge sections, even entire books in the Bible dedicated to God's love. I can tell you right now, I used to live with a couple of guys that were gay. They were a couple. I have gay friends and family members. And they never once said anything positive about how the Christian people treated them. Except they would say, "You're so different. You're so different." And I'm not saying this to lift myself up. I'm saying this to encourage you. Jesus died for every one of them. Hurting people hurt people. They're hurting. Stop hurting them back. I know there's all kinds of debates and studies that I was born this way or they were born that way and all of this, but the thing that I do know is usually with the people that I've talked to that have chosen this lifestyle, there has been some deep wound or hurt that they've carried in their life. And they found acceptance in this community. Why are they not finding acceptance with God's people, the God of love? Well, we want to beat them up. We want to point our finger at them. We want to make sure that they change. Is that how it worked for you? I don't know. I grew up with hell and brimstone teachers and preachers. The day I accepted Jesus into my heart was when a woman cared enough to talk to me in a soft voice on Good Friday. And she had a flannel graph and she showed me the pictures of what Jesus looked like when he died on the cross for me, and he loved me so much that he wanted to be with me for eternity, and he wanted to give me a life that could be free from sin, that I could share the same kind of love with other people. It was the love that broke through to my heart, the hope, the message of hope and love. Please don't get me wrong. This message isn't just for those that are gay or whatever the alphabet soup is for their group, the LBTG, I don't know. I don't look at them in that situation. I look at them as people, God's people. Just like I look at the homeless and the heroin addict and the husband that's losing his temper at his wife and his children and the alcoholic and the hypocritical Christian. I see each one of us through God's eyes, God's children. We need to speak and to love big. We need to speak and to love people when they're in a place of sin. We need to speak against the sin. We need to be a place of love. We need to run after those people that are hurting, that are in their sin, to come and experience a loving relationship with God. It's God's decision on how he chooses to help them grow out of their sin. He loves them so much, he doesn't want them even in sin for a moment. But let that be God's working. You show them the love. You bring them and show them what a loving relationship can look like with God, how God's people are loving. I'm not saying that you condone their sin by any means, but you'll never win them back to Jesus if you're hateful and you're rude and you're mean. We need to stop doing our own thing. We need to follow and live like Jesus. We need to let them know, and I'm talking about them as anybody in your life, in your business, in your circle of influence, we need to let them know that they are loved far more than they have ever imagined, and that if they're still breathing, it's not too late. There is hope for the hopeless. There is freedom. There is freedom. I can't tell you how many people I've ministered to who have been terrible addicts, and instantly, when they prayed a prayer of salvation, they no longer craved the drug, the alcohol. You could see the anger melt off their faces and off their countenance, and it never more returned. That's my prayer, that whom you're ministering to experiences the exact same thing. Is this the case with everyone? No. For some people, it's been years and years and decades of a journey of walking out their salvation. But I can see God is faithful. I want to give you hope. If you've been praying for a wayward child, an angry husband, an angry wife, someone that's walked away and has been so sinful that you've spent so many times in tears. You've done exactly what it says that the psalmist did in Psalm 119:136, that you've had rivers of tears gushing from your eyes because people disobey your instructions, the instructions of the Lord. I want to encourage you, but I want to also encourage you to continue to stand against these things that hurt God's people and hurt his heart. 2 Chronicles 7:14 tells us that if we will humble ourselves and pray, that he will hear our prayer and he will heal our land. I don't know about you, but I think America needs healing. But I also know that it starts with healing of hearts, of individuals. And your heart might need some healing today. I also want to remind you of one more thing before we go to the Lord in prayer. You know, we look at godless people, the ones that are not believers. We look at them, and boy, do we want to let them have it. We want them and expect them to live like they are God's people. And we want to just preach and teach and tell and berate and beat up on. And I get it. I really do. I understand that you love them so much. You want them to experience the joy that you've experienced and experience that relationship. And you want them free from the shackles and the chains of sin, right? I get it. That's not what's going to win them. Godless people live godlessly because that's what they know. We can't expect godless people to live holy because they can't. They're not his people. But as his people, we have to live holy. We have to be that example. We know better. We're called to be different. And we're called to share the good news. And one last word of caution. Don't say it's God closing the doors. When you're making choices that are not in alignment with his word, oh, God closed the door for me to speak to that person. Well, yeah, you chose to, you know, do rotten, awful, sinful things, or you chose to go in a different direction, just like Jonah. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people pray. He didn't say the world. He said my people. So I want to charge you today. If you're one of his people, you are called by his name. You will humble yourself, that you will pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. Then we're going to hear from heaven and he's going to forgive our sin. And he's going to heal our land, heal our hearts, heal our homes, heal our communities, heal our states, heal our countries, and heal our world. I'm going to stay on the line a little bit longer today. The Lord's just really impressed on my heart to pray. I know that we've experienced wayward children, and I just feel in my heart that there's two areas to add prayer to this. Totally off topic, but the Lord just won't release me, so I know this word is for someone that's listening. And I want you to know that if you need any additional prayer, that you can always go over to The Christian Direct Seller and Facebook message me there, The Christian Direct Seller, that I'm always watching for prayer requests there and pray for you immediately. But I just feel really, really a heaviness in my heart that we need to pray, and we need to pray intelligently. You know, I hear a lot of Christians when they're praying for wayward children or for abusive husbands or angry husbands, that it sounds more like begging instead of intelligently praying the Word of God. And we know that when we pray intelligently and not out of panic, we see results because we have unwavering faith. And intelligent prayer is just basic prayer that's been based on Scripture. We've joined our unwavering faith, and we've put into work the Word of God, because he promises that his Word will not return void. And also it allows us to get the angels working on our behalf in all situations. Okay? So forgive me, usually the prayers, if you're new, the prayer usually goes directly with the message that we've been speaking about, but this just really is so heavy on my heart. I just feel that this needs to be ministered today. Father God, we just come before you in Jesus' name, and you know our hearts have been heavy, that we've cried many tears for our family members, for our wayward children, our spouses, Lord, that need a breakthrough. So, Father God, I just come before you, and we lift them up. You tell us in Nehemiah 4:14 that then as I looked over the situation, I called together the leaders and the people and said to them, don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord, who is great and glorious, and fight for your friends, your families, and your homes. Father God, we remind you of this scripture and this word because we've come together, Lord, to be this example for your people. And we are saying we are not afraid of the enemy. So, Satan, your demons, your demonic evil forces, we are putting you on notice. We are not afraid of you. We do remember that our Lord is great and glorious and has overcome already. We are the victors, and we will fight for our friends, our families, and our homes. We will not lie down. We will not allow you to take them. Lord, we know that foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child, according to your word. But, Lord, we will pray. We will pray. We will pray. And we cast out any evil spirit that is hindering them coming to know and live out a full life, a life of wholeness, according to the word of God, and knowing Jesus as their personal Savior. Lord, we are claiming Acts 16:31 right now, where it says, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. We claim our houses are saved. Every person that lives in our home or connected to us, that are relatives, Lord, to us, whether it's by blood or by friendship, we claim that now in Jesus' name. And we claim the whole man's salvation, their whole life salvation, not just their eternal salvation that they're going to squeak in and slide in to heaven at the last minute, but that they are going to live a whole life. Their whole life will be made whole. Lord, we just claim that in Jesus' name. And Lord, we know that you tell us in your word, and it's on 112:1, that our seed will be mighty in the earth and will not be defeated, Lord. So we thank you and we praise you for your word that our seed shall be mighty upon the earth, that this is not a time where Christians are dwindling or decreasing, that this is a time that they're rising up, that they are rising up. Prick their hearts, Lord Jesus, and help us to be faithful to share the gospel, to grow and to disciple others, Lord, to do exactly the same. You also tell us in Isaiah 54:13, Lord, that we need to just say this out loud over our children. So, Lord, I am, and over our families, Isaiah 54:13, and all of thy children, every single one, including James and Bethany, shall be taught of the Lord, and great peace will come upon your children. Lord God, we fully expect you to keep his promise and to teach your children, and we ask that you would give them great peace only coming from you, as you have promised here. Isaiah 49:25 tells us, but thus says the Lord, I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. Lord, I am claiming now that our children are saved. Lord, we're wrapping our faith around this promise until it comes to pass. We will not budge off of this verse, regardless of how long it takes. We will continue to stand and confess. And Lord, that we know that once we've prayed it, we've received it, and we will start moving now in a place of being thankful for these things. And Mr. Devil, I'm going to tell you right now, you can get off. Get off my property, get off my shoulder, get off my mind, get off of the minds of those that I love. I want you right now to take your filthy hands off of my child. Jesus taught in John 10:10 that the thief comes to steal our seed, to kill our children, and to destroy our family. Then, in contrast, Jesus, his mission said that he has come, that the righteous, his people, will have life and have it more abundantly. So we claim abundant life. Lord, we know that our children, each one of our children, the ones that we're saying and speaking and the ones that we're not, have the right to abundant life according to your word. The Bible also teaches in James 4:7 that when we resist the devil, and we are, you must flee from us now. It doesn't ever say any place in the Bible that we're to ask God to resist the devil. He says that we are to resist the devil. Father God, forgive us for those times that we may not have resisted the devil, or we've asked you to resist the devil or to take charge. You tell us that we are to rebuke the devil, that we are to resist him ourselves. So forgive us, Lord, if we've not done that in the past. And from this day forward, give us the boldness and spirit. Bring this to our remembrance every time we feel or see the attack, that we rebuke the enemy, that we resist him in Jesus' name. We break the power of devil off of our wayward children's mind, will, and emotions. And we ask now, Lord, that you would give us that boldness to remember to do that again and again until we see this victory. Lord, and to the enemy, you must cease and desist speaking lies and giving thought suggestions to our seed. You have no authority to do that. And enemy, right now, we say that our seed is God's seed, and it's no longer a candidate for your lies and your deception. And Lord, I ask that you will send angels with flaming swords to separate our wayward children from every person that's a bad influence to him or to her. Lord, I ask that you would cut off those ungodly soul ties, those relationships that regardless of the outcome of the frustration of those children, that those relationships be broken off once and for all. And just like you placed your angels outside of the Garden of Eden so that they would not continue to sin over and over and over again, that you put the flame angel with those flaming swords around these relationships, that these wrong people must go, and that they would be separated forever from all of these bad influences. Lord, I just pray that they will be completely removed from our child's lives altogether. And Father God, you tell us in Proverbs 22:6, to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. So Father God, I praise you and I thank you for that. And Lord, I thank you that we have this covenant right to see the fulfillment of all of the above verses in regards to our children and the word of God come to fruition, so we claim that as well. And Lord, we understand that some of the children are older, and it breaks our hearts even the more. And Lord, I just stand as an intercessor, knowing that someday soon they will be restored, that you would place godly men and godly women in their life to speak truth to them, to stand in covenant with us, so that these young men, these young women, will not be educated by fools and rebels, but they will be educated by your people. And we stand on that promise. You also tell us in Proverbs 11:21 that the children of the godly will go free, and in Proverbs 12:7 that the children of the godly will stand firm. So, Father God, I thank you for that. I praise you for that. And, Lord, I thank you that you love us so much. But I want to pray for our marriages as well and pray for our spouses. Lord, I pray that our spouses will grow spiritually and can consider their accountability before the Lord, that they will guard their hearts by developing spiritual disciplines, that they will be reading their Bibles, that they will be studying, that they will be praying and meditating and memorizing Scripture. Lord, I also pray for our spouses that they are in relationship with you and your word will bear fruit in their life, that they will be men and women of God full of wisdom and understanding and fearing the Lord. I pray for our spouses that they will be humble and quick to agree with God about sin. And Lord, I also pray that their hearts will be tender towards your voice. And Father God, I pray that those husbands and wives will grow in leadership skills in our relationships, that they will be protecting and providing for us, and that they'll lead wisely and love us sacrificially so that you will be glorified in every aspect of our marriages. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to be faithful to our wedding vows, that you will desire to cultivate a relationship that it is one that's worthy of your love, and we know that when we bring our relationship to you, that we become that three-strand cord that cannot be broken. So help us to cultivate our relationships, and that this will be a sign of loyalty and commitment to you, Lord, and that our husbands will picture us and view us as we are our Christ church, and like you view the church. And Lord, I pray that our love will be righteous love, that we will hate wickedness, that we will recognize and avoid wickedness in every area of our lives, that we'll take a clear, strong stand against evil, that we will be united in a relationship, and that our hearts would be safeguarded against inappropriate relationships with the opposite sex, that we would stay pure and undivided in our commitment to each other and to you. Lord, I ask that you will help us to work hard to provide for our families, and that our character qualities will be growing. And not only will we grow in character, but in skill to perform where you would have us to perform in our career and in our ministry, to be a growing part of our character, that we would be persistent and decisive and have strength and have analytical minds and organizational skills and be in positive relationships with people and determination and in every other area that you would have us, so that we could minister effectively to your people in the marketplace as well as in church. Lord, I pray that you will help us to handle our finances wisely and have discernment concerning budgeting and investments, to be a good steward of your money in regard to giving to your work, and that money may never become a source of discord in our family. Lord, I pray that you will cultivate strong integrity and not compromise us in our convictions, that our husbands' and our wives' testimonies will be genuine, that they'll be honest in business dealings and never do anything that would need to be hid from other people. Lord, I pray that in our relationships we will have a humble and teachable spirit, and that we will have a servant's heart before the Lord, and that we would desire to listen and a desire to do your will, Father God. Lord, I pray that you will help our husbands to yield their sexual drives to the Lord and practice self-control. And Lord, I just pray that our intimacy together will be fresh and positive and a reflection of your selfless love. Lord, I pray that we'll use our practical skills to build our family and make wise decisions, and that we would unselfishly serve. And Lord, I pray that our husbands and our wives will speak words that will build our families up and reflect a heart of love, and that we won't use language that is filthy or negative or that would speak death into a situation, but that our words would be according to what your word has said, that we would speak life. Lord, I pray that our spouse will choose friends wisely. And we pray that you will bring men and women alongside of them that are going to encourage their accountability before you and not lead them into sin. We pray that they will choose healthy, God-honoring activities, that we will not live in bondage to any questionable habits or hobbies, and that we will experience freedom and holiness as we yield to the Holy Spirit's control and unity in marriage. Lord, I pray that our husbands will enjoy their manliness as they pattern their life after Christ and strong men of the faith. And we would do the same thing, that we would enjoy being a woman of God as we model our life after Christ and strong women of faith. Lord, we pray for physical, emotional, mental, social, and spiritual strength. Lord, we pray that our husband will have an eternal perspective, living in light of eternity, and that they will not reject that they will reject materialism and temporal values and put God first in his life and make that be evident in our marriages. Lord, we pray for patience and that our spouses will be spouses of peace, that our husbands will not give in to anger, our wives will not give in to anger, but will allow the Holy Spirit to control our responses. And Lord, we ask that you will yield our minds and our thoughts to you, not entertaining immoral or impure thoughts. And we'll resist the temptation to indulge in pornography. And Lord, even this pornography that's on all of the movies now, not just completely naked pornography, but this Magic Mike and these prostitution and all of this, it breaks my heart. Lord, I just pray that we will learn to relax in the Lord, and in your great times of stress that we know that we would have you to rely on, your peace, and that your joy and your peace will fill our relationships with you. Lord, I ask that you will help us to remind us to submit our schedules to you. And Lord, that our husband will practice forgiveness in our relationship with others, that he will recognize the roots of bitterness and yield any resentment and unforgiving attitudes toward the Lord. And Lord, we ask that as well for wives, because we know that this happens more now than ever. Lord, we pray that we'll be good mothers and fathers, that we'll disciple our children wisely and love them unconditionally. Lord, we pray that we will have a balanced life with work and play and ministry. Lord, we pray that we will fear you, but also gain favor with people that we know at work and church to be able to minister into their lives. I pray that that we'll be encouraged and that we will be courageous in our stand against evil and justice and injustice, and that we will stand for the truth, that we will protect our family from Satan's attacks. And Lord, I pray that we will discover and live our God-given purposes. Lord, I pray over all of our dreams. I surrender them to the Lord. And help us to pursue only the goals that will bring you glory and count for eternity. Lord, I also pray that you will help us to understand the importance of taking care of our bodies. These are the temples of the Holy Spirit. And I see so many people overeating and making unwise food choices. Obesity is running rampant, Lord. My heart breaks. Help us to eat wisely and make good food choices and get sufficient exercise to stay healthy. And that our husbands will be men of prayer and we will be women of prayer. That we will seek and pursue you and purposeful quiet times, that would be times that we would not want to relinquish to anything. Lord, we surrender and ask that our spouse would surrender their times and talents to the Lord. Lord, I just pray that our spiritual gifts will be made manifest in career and church and in home, that we'll serve you with pure motives, we'll obey you with our hearts, and we'll glorify you with everything. And Lord, I pray for our husbands, for our wives, for ourselves, that we will recognize the lies of the enemy in our lives. And I pray that our attitudes and our actions will be guided by the truth as he brings his thoughts into captivity, my thoughts into captivity, your thoughts into captivity according to the word of God. Lord, we love you and we praise you. We thank you that we do, those of us living in America, live in an amazing free land. Lord, I pray that you will continue to bless it. I pray that you will show us how to live and to work through some of these situations, but that we would see with your eyes, that we would love with your heart, that we would speak with your mouth, we would do with our hands, we would go with our feet as you would. Give us wisdom and direction, Father. We love you because we know that we are victorious through you. We believe that everything we've prayed today has taken place, and we'll continue to praise and worship you until we see it come to fruition. We thank you that our children are coming back to you. We thank you that families are being restored, that spouses are no longer angry, that spouses are no longer lying, that spouses are no longer involved in pornography or abuse or lazy or lackadaisical or not provided or any of the other things, Lord, that could be getting in the way, that it could be breaking up marriages. Lord, we pray for finances and the wise use of finances. We thank you, Lord, that you are making these things happen and that you've given us the ability to create wealth, that you have given favor to go out before us in Jesus' name. We are looking forward to an incredible week to give you so much glory and just to praise you in so many different things. We love and praise you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.